hope from, and also in comfort and encouragement. And we also thank you for this time during the week that we can come together and pause and remember you and reflect and pray and be encouraged from your word. And we pray that you would do that tonight. We pray that you would renew our spirits tonight. We pray you renew our hearts and bring us closer to yourself. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, tonight we'll be looking at Proverbs 28, 4 and 5. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. So we have here a couple of contrasts. We have in the first verse the attitude towards the law of the wicked, and versus the attitude of the law of the righteous. And then we have a resulting behavior that comes from those two attitudes. Those who forsake the law, that the resulting behavior of that is that they praise the wicked. And then those who have the attitude of keeping the law, their resulting behavior is that they contend with the wicked. And then we also have in verse 5, then, we have two different understandings. We have the understanding of evil men versus the understanding of the righteous, or those who seek the Lord. And the understanding of the evil man is really a lack of understanding, which is that they really don't understand justice. And those who seek the Lord understand all. So there's a contrast there between those two comprehensions of what they understand and what they know. So as we look at, first of all, the attitudes towards the law, the first one here that we have in verse 4 is those who forsake the law. Now, if we could look at forsake could mean several things. It can mean disobeying the law or transgressing the law, regarding the law as something that is profane, or also just simple neglect or apathy towards the law. And those who forsake the law, as we mentioned, the law can also be then, as we look at this particular context in Proverbs, when it refers to the law, we can be looking at the Mosaic law, as we normally think of it, in the Pentateuch and the prophets, or we can also be looking at laws or principles of wisdom. And we see in Proverbs 3:1, if we look at Proverbs 3:1, it says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." So here a father is speaking to his son. He's imparting wisdom to his son. And so he's saying, "Do not forsake my commands." And then in 7:2, it's the same idea. It says, "Keep my commands and live, and my law is the apple of your eye." And then we have, and of course, Psalm 119, the great chapter of the law, and that, of course, is more broadly referred to as the laws of God, or the Pentateuch and the prophets. And we have here, in 119:53, we have, "Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law." So we have this attitude here of those who forsake the law. And the issue is, what do those who forsake the law do? What is the behavior that those who forsake the law partake in? Well, we see here it's a general phrase. They praise the wicked. Okay, they praise the wicked. So when we think about praising the wicked, what exactly does that mean? It can mean several things. We can think about human nature when someone we feel is better than us, we tend to sort of look, human nature, our flesh kind of tends to not like them. We kind of tend to praise those who are more like us, who are maybe on our level. And, you know, we can think of it on a very basic level. This isn't necessarily a sin issue so much, but it's kind of like that kid at school that always raised their hand, you know, as a teacher's pet, and, you know, they always got all the right answers, and you know, we'd always want to be whispering to the kids next, can you believe that guy, you know, all that kind of stuff. We'd sort of praise each other who may not do as well, or, you know, we may have got an F on a test or did really poorly on a test, and we're just looking for people who did as bad as we did so we can say, you know, everybody failed that test. You know, that was a really hard test, wasn't it? And then we look at it too, people with high standards or moral standards. We, you know, that in the flesh, we kind of tend to eschew those people. We kind of tend to look for people who may have the same kind of moral standards that we do, that may be as low as we do. We're looking for someone to affirm our own lower standards. And then it starts getting to the point where we start to affirm those who are sinning. And we see this today in our culture. In fact, Romans 1:32 speaks to this. Romans 1:32 discusses how we look towards people who are unrighteous and we actually praise the unrighteous. Romans 1:32 says, "Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." So we see what we see happen how today is that we celebrate those who are finding themselves, so to speak, or who are coming out into their sinful lifestyle. And those people are celebrated as praiseworthy because they have the courage to come out and show themselves who they really are and show their real selves. And so they're praised as someone who is great and who has actually had the courage to come out and shine, so to speak. And then we have perhaps the last stage of that, and that is found in 1 Peter 1, where not only are the wicked praised, but then the righteous are actually maligned. If we look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. We see, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we were in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." So we look back here again to those who forsake the law. What do? Those who forsake the law praise the wicked. And it gets to the point where they actually malign those who do not join with them in their wickedness. So they praise the wicked, they celebrate with the wicked, but then those who are not joining in their praise, they turn on them and they malign them. And of course, we can see that happening today. Now, as we look then at the contrast then, but those who keep the law contend with them. And as we look at Psalm, if we look back at Psalm 119 here, of course, there's a lot of scriptures we could look at with this, but this is just one of them. Psalm 119, the first four verses, looking at an attitude of admiration towards the law. 119:1 says, "But blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently." So here we see an attitude of someone who enjoys the law, who loves the law of the Lord, those who keep the law. And then we say, those who keep the law contend with them. Now, I'm reading tonight out of the New King James. I usually bring my New King James because we have quizzing on Wednesday night, and that's where we quiz out of. But the ESV and the NAS and all say, both say, strive. Those who love the law strive with the wicked. Now, the question is, how do we contend, strive? And the NIV says resist. So we have contend, strive, resist. So how is it that we resist or strive with the wicked or with those who forsake the law? Well, if we look at Ephesians chapter 4, we see some instruction there about what we are to do with those who forsake the law. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." Now, the question is, we always face as Christians in our culture is, how do we contend with the wicked? How do we treat the wicked? How do we speak with the wicked? And what is our relationship to be like with the wicked? And I just want to mention about several things here, several suggestions, and of course this is not exhaustive, but just to give us some ideas. First of all, we are not to be intimidated by them. That is first and foremost our attitude. 1 Peter 3:14 says, "And do not be intimidated by the wicked." If we want to turn there, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 says, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, always being ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. And having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." So we have here, first of all, an attitude of not being afraid, because as we mentioned before in 1 Peter chapter 4, that is the attitude. They're going to try to condemn us. They're going to try to intimidate us. So we cannot be afraid of them. And so instead, we must sanctify the Lord. We must come to the Lord. We must sanctify this Lord as our heart and be prepared to give an answer to them when they come to us, asking for a reason for the hope that is within us. And then, of course, along with that, Ephesians 4:15, we are to speak the truth in love. And then it also is, and according to 1 Timothy 2:24, is that we are not to be quarrelsome. Now, that may seem like somewhat of a contradiction with Proverbs, our verse tonight, which says that those who love the law contend with the wicked or strive with the wicked. And here it says, do not be quarrelsome. And that is, do not be argumentative or combative. I think the word here is there's a difference between quarrelsome or argumentative and contending and striving. And we'll try to look at that in a minute here, what the difference may be. But there's a difference in not being combative. Striving with them or contending with them is not necessarily being combative or quarrelsome or argumentative. And sometimes I thought about this. I thought this may not be a perfect analogy, but I thought about it in terms of a sport. Well, actually, before I get to that, I wanted to just make one more point on this out of 1 Timothy 2. It talks about that we are to be able to teach them and correct them. So there's this correction. There's this speaking the truth in love. There is this ability to, in humility, correct those who are in opposition to us. And I think oftentimes that I, for some reason, I thought of a sports, different sports, and how we might think of ourselves as contending with the world, contending with those who oppose us. As we think about different sports, for example, think about boxing. What do we do in boxing? Well, we're punching them, and we're trying to hit the knockout blow. Well, as Christians, that's not how we are to deal with the world. You know, we're not trying to knock them out, okay? Now, we think about hockey. Hockey is a contact sport, and hockey is one where you're trying to get the puck in the net, and oftentimes during the time, you're body checking and you're slamming up against walls. So that's almost as much of the game as actually getting the puck in the net. So we can probably say that we're not supposed to be checking and body checking and trying to slam up against walls and that type of thing. And then we think about football. Well, football also is a contact sport. And what are we doing during football? We're tackling them. We're hitting them. And it's, again, sometimes in football is the one of the big things is how hard is a hit. And you can hear the crack of the shoulder pads from the stands. And everybody goes, ooh, you know, and ooh, that must have hurt. So that's part of the game of football. You knock them down. Okay, that probably isn't the way we should think of the way we should handle the wicked or contend either. But the one that I thought of was wrestling. You know, Jacob wrestled with God. Now, I was never a wrestler. I really was never much of an athlete at all because I wasn't that coordinated. I could play pickup basketball and football. But somehow wrestling, I always admire people who wrestle because wrestling is truly a hand-to-hand, body-to-body sport. And I would just never, I've always admired that. I guess the one thing I could picture myself is having my arms and my legs wrapped around another guy with our sweat exchanging. And I'm thinking, that's really up close and personal. And God bless those who are able to do that, you know. But I really kind of picture that as the way we are to contend with the world. You know, we are really, truly to wrestle with the world. And really, wrestling isn't so much a slamming sport. It's not a hitting sport. It's just a strength against strength, a contending together, a striving together as we even sweat together, as we try to work out different issues and we try to discuss different things. We are to contend. And I guess the last thing I have here is that we are to push back. We are to be able to willing to speak up. We should be willing to have those hard conversations with people. But the problem is sometimes with the world, we either are combative, oftentimes with the Christians, we're either combative, or we want to totally withdraw and not say anything, or we want to try to dance and waltz with the world and try to find all this common ground and all that type of thing. And none of those are the right response. But rather, we are to contend, we are to share, we are to sanctify. First of all, we are to look at our own hearts, we are to look inside of our own selves and examine our hearts, examine our attitudes. Why are we saying what we're saying? Are we truly in fellowship with God, being able to correct those who oppose us with gentleness and patience, and also being able to give an answer to those, being prepared, knowing the truth, knowing the scriptures, being able to prepare and share what we did. In other words, being able to make a defense for our faith. So I guess one of the things I would think of is if I could think of the illustration again is just wrestling. We are wrestling with them. Okay, so that is the first verse we look at tonight. Now let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 28 and look at our next verse, verse 5. And I see these as somewhat related. Verse 4, again, those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. And then verse 5 says, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. So here we have the perspective, the understanding, the knowledge of evil men versus the knowledge of those who know the Lord and who seek Him. Now, it says, evil men do not understand justice. You know, today we are totally awash in talk about justice. It's all about diversity, equity, inclusion, and hardly any employer can get away without having an official policy or written statement on these issues. And the whole world is looking at justice and equity. And we talk so much about equity in our world, but yet it seems like things are so upside down. As we look at Isaiah 5, and this is a familiar passage we know, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." The world thinks they have a corner on justice, but the reality is they do not have any idea about what true justice is. I can almost guarantee you, if I could do a profile on those who are the most militant members of PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, who in extreme cases do not even believe in eating eggs from chickens or having milk from cows or anything of the such, probably 99.9% of those support abortion up to term, full term. I could almost guarantee it. You know, maybe not all, but I can almost guarantee you that almost every one of them do. That's just a profile that you can find. And we also see that we have so many times we see injustices that are talked about from the past, but yet we ignore current injustices, such as Christians who are being tortured and persecuted and killed around the world today. It was interesting, I heard an interview on Tucker Carlson of Nayib Bukele, who is the new president of El Salvador. And El Salvador has went from the murder capital of the world to the least murders in the world in a matter of a couple of years. It was a very interesting comment about how he was saying that it is the safest place to live in the world right now. In fact, 62% of El Salvadorians who have immigrated to the United States want to come back because they want to come back to their homeland. And he said, but yet, one of the ways he's done this is the crackdown on gangs. And he says, but yet he's getting international criticism because they have violated the rights of the gangs. And he's every to where he goes, there's all of these interviews of him being pressed for violating rights of these people. And we hear a lot today also about eco-justice, of crazy environmentalism to the point of putting more people into poverty. And we could go on and on and on and talking about different areas of total incomprehensible contradictions of people who claim to be for justice. And everything is just completely upside down as far as what they are looking at. And there's a contrast here, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. If we go back to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Therefore, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If we look at the contrast of the wicked who are wise in their own eyes, they think they know so much, but they are fooled, they are deluded, versus those who understand all. And really, as believers, our eyes are opened. We don't know sometimes how blessed we are. The world is totally disoriented. It's almost as if they are in a cave trying to feel their way around, thinking they're in the light. And they are not. They just don't understand. They don't understand true justice. They don't really understand what way is up. Now, if we look at Ephesians, if we go back to Ephesians chapter 5, we kind of get an idea of what we are like as believers. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 10 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." Believers, as believers, we have been blessed with light. We have been blessed with understanding. Those who seek the Lord understand all things. We may not understand all the complexities of life. We may not understand the way why the Lord does certain things the way he does them. We may not understand why certain things happen the way they do specifically, but we understand the big picture. And that's what the world does not understand. We know that God is the creator of the earth and the world, and we know the true nature of God. We know that man is sinful and is separated from God and is depraved by nature. We know, we who have been born of the Spirit, we have a general revelation through nature. We look at nature and we say, wow, isn't this great? Look at what God has created. Whereas the world may look at it and say, wow, isn't it wonderful and isn't it amazing what has happened by chance and how the world works together? But we know that there's a creator. We have the written revelation of God through his word, and we have the living revelation through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is of God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." We know his plan, and we know his will for our life to be sanctified and to live a holy life before him. We know God's plan for the ages. As we look at all the things that go around, on around us today, as we look at the craziness in the world, both here in the United States as well as around the world, we know exactly where it is headed. We have the illumination of the Word of God. As we look into the Word and we read it, we can understand it because the Holy Spirit enlightens us. He shows us and he directs us in the Word. As I mentioned, we have a full overall, we have a context, and we have a perspective that the world does not have. So again, these incredible verses in Proverbs tonight, as we just review them and look over them here again. "Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. And evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all." Okay, that's what I have for tonight. Any questions or comments? Okay.